As always, I'm start. I'm Pat Curry.
Hey, Diane.
Dan Ringston.
Don Cole.
Megan DeShepper.
David Little.
Silas Marlin.
Jared Bogey.
Rick Asher.
Andrew Palmer.
Dan O'Mara.
Good enough. The first of the meeting is called to order. We did with reorganization. We have a chairman and vice chair, and what's going to happen here? It's open.
I need a nomination from somebody to be chair.
Can I just move that we keep everything the same?
You certainly can if you so choose.
I'll second.
Okay. So Dan, you are vice chair, is that correct?
Am I?
That's what I'm wondering.
No, Don was.
I am.
Are you the vice chair?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
you were the year before.
I don't think I've ever been.
But you never had to do it.
I don't think I've ever been any.
I think you were. Okay,
oh,
you're Don.
Oh,
okay.
Something.
I couldn't remember for sure.
All right, thank you, fellas,
okay,
guys and gals. Number four.
We should vote on that, Pat. Pat, can we vote on that?
No, we already had.
Please.
You're right. We have a nomination. We have a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Same sign for no.
Okay. Thank you.
Don't hear it. Sorry about that.
No, that's fine.
Number four, taxi lane design update. Bolton and Nick are in silence. Are you going to be doing that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, we can do it next.
Got a little memo update here. I'll pass around to you guys and give a little update on the master plan as well. I'm not sure how many of you members here are part of the advisory group commission, so you may be getting some important information from me.
Thank you.
So kind of starting with the master plan, the master plan advisory group, which is a group of people, the airport users, members of the city staff, and other users of the airport. They're part of the group that kind of helps lead the master plan effort throughout each stage of the process. So the first meeting was held on December 12th there, which is kind of the kickoff for the master plan. What the purpose of that one was to introduce the MPAG group, what your roles, responsibilities are, what the purpose of the master plan is, which is to kind of craft the 20-year development plan for your airport here, and then also start drafting the user survey, looking at inventory for your airport, and kind of identifying the next step. So that first meeting is just more of an informational meeting to get everyone together, craft the user survey, figure out who to send it to, and then kind of inventory what you have at your airport, because those are kind of the first few chapters of the master plan, which are more of, okay, this is what the Wilmer Airport has, these are the users, these are the current forecast, this is what we have, and that kind of is the basis for moving forward and developing the future for your airport.
How many were at the meeting?
I want to say it was one, two, three, 15 people were in attendance at the meeting, so that included Bolton and Mank staff, city staff, MnDOT staff, and then remainder of members of the advisory group. So the first meeting was pretty well attended from my recollection on that one. The second advisory group meeting was held on February 9th, and that's when the group started getting more into the meat of the master plan project. What was discussed there was the existing airport inventory. So what you're looking at there is number of hangar facilities that you have, type of facilities that you have, based aircraft here, type of aircraft, whether they're jet, single engine, those types of things, and then what your pavements are, what the strengths are, what your fuel facilities are. So it's more of a encapsulates what you have here. The other part of that meeting that was discussed was the user survey results. The airport had 24 responses to the user survey. Now I know that may sound like a relatively small number, but from our experience in doing that, that's quite impressive to get 24 surveys back. That 16% of what's sent out, we're lucky to get 10, to be honest with you. So I know it doesn't sound like a huge number, but that's quite good for us, and it does give us a good handle on what you have here and what's moving forward. Also part of that user survey, we were able to determine there are 57 based aircraft that are here at the airport currently, and the 2017 projected operations based on the aircraft that are based here in itinerant and transient, you're looking at 24,000 operations. So pretty busy airport in the general aviation side, considering the facilities that you have here. So based on the first two advisory group meetings, the initial three chapters of the master plan report were drafted and just recently submitted to the city and the FAA for review here. And those chapters are the introduction, your airport inventory, which details kind of what facilities Wilmer currently has, and then your forecast moving forward. So it wouldn't bore you with a 20-year forecast, but the 2017 forecast is interesting to know that 24,000 operations and obviously scheduled increase over the next 20 years with the belief that there'll be more aircraft based here and more operations coming to the airport. So things are moving along well on the master plan side. Now the next steps are more developing, okay, what do you guys want for the future here? I know there's talks of looking at runway extensions, addressing the crosswind. Is it the ideal location? Any options there? Looking at potential paving of it in the future. And then also looking at facilities here in terms of what are you looking for, general aviation-wise, corporation-wise, where you would look to build more facilities, hangars, what types of hangars, T's, bays, those types of things. So it's an interesting process. I'm not sure how many of you here are actually on the board, but now is when your roles kind of ramp up a little bit, where you start brainstorming and just any ideas that you have, put them forward and they can be discussed and vetted. So kind of a quick update on the master plan. Feel welcome to ask me any questions that you have now, and I can make sure Melissa, who's our senior planner leading the study, can respond to any questions that the commission has.
I don't know if this has ever been brought up, but we don't have a turnaround at the end of our runways. Are they ever talking about that?
It's something that if it's not on here, so part of the master plan is also an update to your airport layout plan. The airport layout plan is essentially, if it's not on there, you can't build it with federal dollars. So that's something that you do want, and it's something that's shown on your airport layout plan. And then there's a project a couple years down the line to do a rehabilitation of your primary runway and parallel taxiway in terms of crack repair and seal coating. That could be something that could be added to that project with the runway being closed.
Well, I don't know if we've brought it up in years, but I know we talked about it years ago. We don't have the turnaround. The ends. So,
is there a need for it?
I don't know.
You think there's?
I just turn off on the end. You got taxiways on each end.
Right. So,
I don't see a need.
Well, it was brought up, but I just didn't know if it's in our master plan.
With a full parallel, you rarely see turnarounds and a full parallel taxiway. Because depending on which side of the you're taking off on, departing either 3-1 or 1-3, you taxi that direction. Now I know if you've got a smaller aircraft, you can just back taxi and turn around. So
sure,
it might not. It could be something that you can surely show on your airport layout plan, regardless if you plan on constructing it or not.
Okay. I have a question. I'm fairly new to the airport commission.
Sure.
And not a pilot. But I was wondering, 24,000 operations in a year, is that right? Is that fairly common, like for an airport this size, or how does Wilmer fit in? Just for my own curiosity.
Wilmer is probably one of the top, in terms of operation-wise, general aviation airports in the state. So it's on par with, you're on par with like a Marshall Airport, which is another large general aviation facility that has business operations coming in and out of town there.
Alexandria? How would we compare?
Alexandria would be a little bit less
than
what you guys have, but they're close in the ballpark there.
And this,
I don't have the exact numbers. I don't want.
No, that's fine. I think you're looking just relative speaking.
Yeah. David, just for the background, an operation is either takeoff or landing. Yeah. So if you have a guy that does a traffic pattern, he's done two operations. So you could get somebody out there practicing one night, and they might take. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 10 landings, and so they can add up pretty darn quick.
That's what I was going to say.
Oh. I was curious about something. You said that there will be growth, and I think that's great. I'm just wondering why you think that.
Based on the facilities that you have right now, so every hangar that you have on the airfield is occupied. There's a waiting list of, I believe, 6 people already there, and if you get 6 more people, that's additionally more operations there. on your 20-year capital improvement program that Megan had worked to submit to Midnight Aeronautics, which kind of details what your projects are going to be in the future. There was also additional hangars put on there, both in terms of T-hangers, 8 or 12-unit T-hanger, and then also additional just bay hangars for either cold storage or transient or things like that. So when you factor those in and then you look at the history of operations that have occurred here at the airport, you come up with a fancy calculation that I don't know off the top of my head. But that's when you do the plug that information into your forecast, it shows growth. I mean, every aircraft that that you increase your base by here, it increases your operations. So it works that way. I mean, based on what I've seen, I think 10 years ago, there was 35 based aircraft at the Wilmer Airport, and that was at the old facility. You've already almost doubled that with where you're at, so the way the trend is going. Now, things could change. It could go the opposite direction. I mean, something could happen in terms of aircraft fuel, or if they somehow go away from low lead like they're talking about and make you go unleaded and everyone's got to retrofit their engines. Obviously, things could change, but based on the history here, the projections are that the forecast will go up, or the operations will go up, excuse me.
And I think if I remember from the meeting that FAA allows us to use it, I believe it's 10 years look back. So whatever happened in the last 10 years, they let us use that as a projection moving forward.
Next year.
So even though we've had a lot of growth that may or may not be sustainable, we can forecast that we're going to continue to go that way. So
correct, yeah. With the new facility that you have here, it did allow for additional aircraft.
So what do they have to do? You mentioned lengthen the runway. What do we have to do to lengthen our runway here?
So what you'll need is 500 operations of a certain aircraft that requires the additional length. Whether you go, you know, I'm assuming you're probably looking for something like 6,500 from where you're at now, because that's kind of the next logical jump. But there's also different increments within there. So currently you don't have the aircraft that could justify the extension. But it could just take one. You could get a business that locates here with a larger type of aircraft that says we need, say, 7,000 feet. And if they have enough, so if they're taking off on average 3 or 4 times a week, that's going to get you 500 operations. In the FAA's mind, there's your justification. So it's kind of a cat and mouse game, because you can't build it and then they come. It's got to be justified first with the user survey and a certified letter from whomever owns or operates that aircraft, whether it's a business or an individual.
What kind of plane would that be?
If you're looking for 7,000 feet,
Falcon.
It'd be a larger Gulfstream, could be a Falcon. I don't know, like an MD-80 would probably need a little bit larger than 7,000, and then those are, you're looking at the commercial service size. I couldn't tell you the specific type of aircraft that could use it, but I can get back to you with that information.
Well, I'm just curious, because we bring our Gulfstream in here and with no problem.
Yeah, like I was trying to think, even like a CRJ-200, you know, you could probably, it's snug, but you can get in, you know, so, yeah, and that's kind of my question too, is if we did add on, what are we really gaining, you know?
There's a runway length calculation that the FAA has put forward, so I'm sure you can get in here, but is it the adequate length of what you need? If you're fully loaded, full fuel, full passengers, it obviously affects, you know, the length that you need to come in and come out. But we can look into that and get you
an idea. I just ask.
I don't know top hand what it would or wouldn't be, but there's a calculation that you run through when it comes time to looking for a runway extension, because there's a study that's done as part of it, submits to the FAA, and once they say, yeah, we agree with it, you're justified and they'll fund it.
Can I add something?
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, and this is a really opportune time for this in terms of city growth and development and what the EDC is doing and what the city is looking at in terms of industrial park expansion and with the Y coming in and all that. You know, these are the questions that are asked by corporations that are metropolitan corporations, and a lot of times, you know, factors that weigh in their decisions, you know, revolve around their logistics, so their aircraft and whatnot. And a lot of times we're not made privy to that information right up front, but to have it available that we are, as a city, currently working on a new master plan, and it is something that's in the works, and it's an ever-changing, ever-evolving plan, and something that bodes well for our community, I think. Thus far, it has anyways. So that's the feedback we've gotten.
have a question. You said there were six on the waiting list. They were like, not being that familiar. Does that mean like six pilots and six planes and one hangar space or something? Or what does that mean?
Correct. It means people that have, well, they should have aircraft. Sometimes they don't, but that's another story. So people that have aircraft that want to base at Willmar, they call your airport manager, Eric, say, do you have any space available? No, can I put you on the waiting list? So as soon as one, either someone departs or if you happen to construct a new facility, those six will be the first people that get right of refusal to occupy the space.
Is there a threshold the city has for providing more space, or I don't know how that works. So they build their own, or
we actually only have one now on our waiting list.
Oh,
yeah, we had more this fall that some people left, so some people were able to fill, and then some are no longer interested because they're renting somewhere else. But yeah, we asked MnDOT at our needs meeting, okay, how many people on a waiting list could justify building more tees or a box hanger or whatever, and they said, you know, six to or more. Fewer than that, it's kind of fluid. How do you justify that?
Well, but I know people that's been on the waiting list that didn't own an airplane but would love to buy one, but they aren't gonna buy one until they know they have a place to keep it.
Yeah. And we had someone just this fall that waited. Once he got his spot, then he went and bought a plane.
Yeah.
So it is happening.
Yeah, but there's probably people on that list that they come say, oh, it's available, and they say, oh, you know, I really am not ready to buy a plane too.
Yeah. Or
I'm
some
sure
people,
that happens.
When I do call them back.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, right. You are stuck in the middle. Yep. I mean, because, you know, there's
and
no
we've
doubt.
Had some people, oh, I went to Painesville or I went to Benson. I mean, I couldn't give them a spot when they needed it, so.
Yep. Well, if we built, they'll come back.
Yeah, if it's closer to home.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, there's a three ways which you can really construct a hangar facility. Either 100% local funds, you can take advantage of the state hangar loan program, where they'll provide the city a 20-year interest-free loan at 80% of the building cost, or you could pursue using federal funds for constructing the facility. So there's options there that the city has. Federal funds, it's the most advantageous because they're participating in 90% of it, but you're also limited to just non-primary entitlement funds. So for your airport, you only receive $150,000 per year, and with the amount of payment that you have out there, and the improvements that you're making in the next couple years, it takes an effort to bank enough funds to construct a T-hanger in that effect. So it always takes a discussion amongst what's going to be most advantageous for the city and what really time drives a lot of those decisions.
Well, I feel with what's happening out here with the FBO, two guys that getting more Moonies in there, it's going to sort of help with landings and takeoffs, and that's going to help.
Yeah, it definitely should. Yeah.
Yeah.
And with the project that you have proposed for next year, with expanding your apron to allow space for another corporate, a corporate hangar or a transient or a public hangar that the city operates, so you know that would be another opportunity to get more aircraft based here, and maybe another corporation or another business comes in. So now that you're back in compliance with the FAA, you know, now you're not just limited to state and local dollars. It opens you up to a lot more opportunities for development. Well, is there any other questions?
Anything to say, Jared?
No.
He's doing a good job.
He's doing a great job.
That's what he's here for.
Just to watch.
Well, are there any other questions about the master plan? Otherwise, I can talk about the East Taxi Lane Rehab project.
Go ahead.
Sure. So I got some 90% set of plans here. If anybody wants to look at them now, I can pass them out. So as we talked about the last commission meeting, we had just kicked off design at that portion, and as what we found as part of our survey there, which you guys were all aware of, is that the pavements were designed within the hangar area. They were designed to just have longitudinal grade act as drainage facilitation for the surface. And what you find there is once hangars started getting to build, they built their own apron to connect to the existing taxi lanes there. It just wasn't working. The surface drainage ultimately had nowhere to go. There's no ground within the pavement to really facilitate where things were going. So what we proposed doing, and what we have in the plans here, is to construct an inverted crown, so you'll have a V shape within the taxi lanes, within the hangar area, and down the middle of each one of those taxi lanes, which will be Delta, Charlie, and Bravo, there'll be a concrete valley gutter, which will then facilitate the surface drainage to the south across taxi lane F into the existing ditch that's there. What this will do is surface drainage that, so we're talking about rain and snow melt, it's no longer just going to be sitting on top of the pavement, and if you get a large volume of it, it won't back up onto the hangar aprons and, God forbid, into the hangars itself. Now, with the design that we have proposed, there's a mechanism and a facilitation in place to get the surface drainage where we want it to go, which is south into the ditch that's there. Once you get outside of the hangar areas, those pavements did have a center crown constructed on them. So what our project will do is reestablish the center crown for them, because there aren't any plans to construct hangar facilities in those areas as it sits now for setback requirements. One of the questions that did come up at the last commission meeting also was subsurface drainage in terms of drain tile. If you look at sheet 8, there is quite a bit of drain tile that is already existing in and around Taxiway Delta, Charlie, and Bravo. So you can see you'll see 8 inches of PVC. It may be a little difficult to see on there on page 8.
Page 22.
So with the amount of subsurface drainage that's there, with the design that we proposed, it won't compromise the drain tile that's there. So what we're expecting is that now with the surface drainage improved, the subsurface drainage is going to continue to perform. You don't know it's performing now because what you see is surface drainage causing issues, and particularly kind of on the far southern end of each one of those taxi lanes where it backs up into the hangars there. So I know there was a question asked at the last meeting, well, why aren't we putting in more drain tile? There's already quite a bit of tile that's there, and with the improvements being made to the surface drainage, we're confident that you're not going to have, you know, the level of backups and kind of flooding into the hangars is what you're experiencing now. The design is not going to solve every single problem that you have, but it's going to resolve a great share of them, where you're not having the issues that you have here, probably particularly during the springtime, or if you do experience some heavy rain. Because with now, we're facilitating drainage to the south, where it ultimately was supposed to end up, just getting there in a better manner now with inverted crowns and some valley gutters. So if you turn to page 9, these are the typical sections for the project. So you can see from C9, this is what the existing design was for each one of those taxi lanes, where it didn't have any crown. So crown is, you know, cracking the pavement one way or the other. It was all flat, and they were just factoring in a longitudinal drainage. Well, once you start connecting, private hangars come in, start building their own aprons onto their elevation difference amongst the hangars themselves, it does have a tendency to cause some issues. So not saying that the original design was foolish to begin with, but it didn't kind of factor in individual private hangars coming in at different elevations, and that's what's causing some issues now. So if you go to detail A on that sheet, you can kind of see what we're proposing to do there. We're with an inverted crown with a concrete valley down the center to facilitate drainage. And then once you get outside of the hangar areas, you'll see detail B, which will keep the center crown that's there, and that will drain into the grass areas. And then taxi lane F will just be a cross slope to drain into the ditch networks that's there south of taxiway F. So I know that was kind of a quick overview. Feel welcome to stop, ask me any questions that you have. I mean, that's the meat of the plans. What you'll see also in there is kind of the plan and profiles for each taxi lane in there, and kind of get an idea of where we're facilitating drainage. There's also kind of cross sections at the end of the plant, so you can kind of get a scaled-in cross-sectional view at each station where things are happening. So you can see, kind of, if you go to sheet 16, the transition from a center crown towards an inverted crown, and how the surface drainage will be facilitated as part of this project. So I'll give you guys some time to kind of flip around and see if there's any questions that you have before you kind of move forward.
And if you want to just talk about the schedule a little bit, Silas, I know Bill was talking about fixing his door issue.
Yeah.
And so he was concerned about when is this actually going to happen, because he has to fix it again this year.
So with this project being funded by the FAA, they don't have their money yet. By their money, I mean the entitlements that the city of Willmar is due for this project. So their checkbooks won't get loaded until sometime in June or July. So how the process goes is that we'll open bids on the project in June. We'll work with the city to submit your grant application to the FAA and MnDOT Aeronautics. And then the expectation is the city will receive their grant sometime in August. If things go well, it could be sometime in late July. But by the time you get contracts then established with the contractor, you're looking at late August, likely after Labor Day construction start. So the contractor will start the project sometime in the fall, September, October months is what we're anticipating. Now, sheet 2 shows the way we phase the project. To be the most efficient, not only in construction time and in cost, what we've shown is closing all the taxi lanes at the same time to allow the contractor in there at once. The taxi lanes themselves, they're small areas where if we broke it up into 3 or 4 phases, it wouldn't be very efficient and it would cost quite a bit more. So we're talking, we're looking at 40 working days for the project, so that's, we're looking at eight weeks. And that's on the conservative side. If we put in less time in there, the rates go up, and it's one of those where you don't want to be lax on the amount of time, but you don't want to be extremely stringent for fear that contractors will bid up their prices. So we show 8 weeks of construction time, and by completing the project all at once, it'll be more efficient that way. Now, with that said, I know many of you here do operate a hangar in that area, and there's going to be a time where we'll be working with you guys in the airport of, okay, how can we facilitate this project to best meet your schedules? I mean, there'll be some inconveniences for you guys, and I know there's not any other spaces right now where the airport could house your airplane if you're operating frequently, but it'd be good, for my own opinion now, to hear what your guys' concerns are about being shut down all at once for a potential of 2 months.
So that would be those two lanes here that we're talking about?
So there's Taxi Lane Echo, there's Delta, Charlie, and Bravo.
Okay.
And Taxi Lane F. But Taxi Lane F, no one's based off of, and there are other ways to get around.
So they would be working all of those at one time?
Correct. To be the most efficient in time and construction cost, because what the project is with reclaiming the existing bituminous and underlying aggregate, that's one subcontractor. They'll come in one day, reclaim everything. The prime contractor will follow behind them, do all the grading, do all the compaction, blading, get the subgrade to where we want it, and then follow up with the paver.
So what you're talking about starting in October?
No, most likely after Labor Day, so first or second week of September.
Okay.
That's realistic based on how the federal grant system operates.
Okay. So that's when you'd be
yeah.
Okay, you'd start.
And we wouldn't give the contractor notice to proceed until we knew, okay, the hangar tenants in that area are aware of the schedule, are given enough time to either relocate or move their aircraft around somewhere else on the airfield during that time period.
Yeah, it'd be important to get it done before the ice season starts.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's what I was thinking. Yeah, I mean, because you don't want it stopped, that's for darn sure.
Once they start, they have to finish.
Yeah.
I mean, at the very least, they'd have to get the base lift of bituminous surface on there.
Yeah.
So that, and then the contractors, they know that there's provisions in the specifications.
Yeah. So before they start, right away after
Labor Day. Yeah. And some, it's not all bad, just putting the base lift and then waiting until spring, tell you the truth.
The contractor wouldn't want to pay a second mold though, and that's where.
Oh, I get that, but for us, it wouldn't be all bad for quality.
Ideally, I've had some of the most successful, like larger scale projects I've had, where you get it up to the base. It's just the aggregate base. It goes through one freeze-thaw season. You come back, recompact, blade it a little bit, and then pave it.
Especially their soil here.
Yeah. But unfortunately, you know, it's not.
Oh, I know.
Right.
We can make. Now, if there are any grand scale delays in the federal grant, where let's say you don't get it until September, then it might be a discussion that we have to have here, say, okay, do we even want the contractor to begin unless we know they can get it finished? So right now we're operating under the assumption you'll get your grant in August and begin construction sometime in September.
Yep. That should work.
I think at that point we'd probably have to talk to Eric or figure out what's open for hangar space and everything else, because you know, I don't see people putting their airplanes out on the ramp out here, or, you know, I know 2 months without an airplane is, it's
correct.
Critical. I mean,
there's
at least five people out there.
And I know there's many people from what I've talked to, they fly people in and out to North Dakota for the oil fields. So they're talking, they leave Monday and come back Friday, and you know, you don't want to leave your aircraft exposed for a weekend just for a multitude of reasons.
Yeah. So that's what we'd have to figure out, is how we do that.
So it's something I wanted to make everyone aware of now, so that you know, you can start having those conversations. I've spoken with Eric about it, and it's not something that he can decide right now where to house everybody, but once he starts talking to hangar owners in that area, who's operating and who's frequent, we're hopeful that there can be something that works for everybody. So we're at the 90% stage of the plans and specifications. The FAA is reviewing the documents as we speak, and we'll move forward then, kind of proceeding with the project and get it ready to have get it ready for bids.
Now, suppose this couldn't happen at that time. Would you start it in the fall? In the spring?
Suppose what would happen?
Well, if you couldn't get it going like you're talking about after Labor Day.
Correct.
You would, let's say, wouldn't happen. Would you start it then in the spring?
Yeah, then we would work with the contractor and say, you know, like same around this time next year, we'd start having the conversations with the contractor. Say, hey, when are you planning to come in? We'd wait for load restrictions to be lifted, things of that nature, yeah. Okay.
Was there any other assessment to the hangar owners? Any other additional costs, or even just?
No, if they choose to do something on their own, there would be, but otherwise not from the city.
Okay. For example, Bill's over there. Yep.
Well, and it's his.
He's got to redo his ramp anyway, because he's like 4 inches and it buckled his door and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
So
he was hoping this was going to be like the summer, I think, so he could do it all at once, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, he could wait. I mean,
if he can wait,
he would be talk to whoever the contractor is when they're there, but you can talk about that with him offline, because they'll have all the equipment there if he's looking to do something. But
yeah.
Can he wait that long?
He probably could. You know, of course, it's concrete now. I don't know if he wants,
materials. Yeah, maybe a little different. But so. It depends on who the contractor is. But I mean, that's just my personal opinion. If I were him, get a better price.
Yeah, I can definitely talk to him. Yeah, they're carrying a lot anyways.
Yeah.
So, but all right, I was just concerned about if there's another assessment for the hangar owners, or, you know, other than if they want to do something different.
Right, if they want to, you know, he's basically shown where the tile is.
Correct, yeah.
So if people didn't know before where it was.
Can we get that in town? No assessments on our street going by the house?
It's not my area of expertise.
It's going to be about $10,000 for my house. And scares that.
You can talk to Andrew about that.
Yeah, probably next year.
About 3 years too late.
Yeah.
Thank you, Silas. I don't know if anybody has
questions. Fly up.
That's right.
If you do have questions, feel welcome to either email me directly or send them to Megan and she can get them over.
Do you guys want to, I don't know if we need a formal action since these aren't totally completed, but to, this will have to go before the council once the bids are obtained and we would have to select one. I don't know if you want to do a formal action or, you know, just say you accept these for information. It's up to you.
Is there anything we can vote on this because of what you've been talking about? Can we, is there something we should vote on to get this going?
So what we talked about was, all right. So in order to keep the schedule moving and make sure that, I believe the council has to authorize the advertisement for the project. So if we waited till your next meeting in June, that would push that schedule potentially past the August grant timeline. So the action or the recommendation at least that we would have is that you would recommend the plans and forwarding them on to the city council for their approval.
One of the board members, like Kish?
I'll make that motion.
Okay.
A second.
Motion second to okay these plans, is that how you want it read?
Recommend forwarding them to council for bidding.
We have a motion and second.
And Sean has received these, yes.
He's looked at them.
He's got them emailed, I can't say that he looked at them. He's received them, yes.
And we did have a conversation with him about the grant.
Right, yes.
So he's well aware.
All right.
Yep.
We do have a motion and second on the floor. Bring it to the table, all of those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
What are you looking at for estimated cost of this project?
So total cost, including engineering, we're looking at $456,000. So that kind of fits within the available federal funding that the city has available to them for this project.
And so 90% of that is going to be federally paid for, 5% state, and the city only has to pay 5% of that. So it's a really good deal.
Yeah, for sure.
Good time to get back into compliance.
Right.
What was that figure you just threw out for what?
$456,000.
95 and 5, huh? All right. Anything else, Alex?
Yeah, if you guys have any other questions, or if you think of something after the fact, feel welcome to direct them towards Megan and she'll get them to me.
Thank you. It's a thorough overview. I really appreciate the elevations and all the work that goes into the survey and the topography maps. I think that's super informational. And it's great to have a plan to let us know that that this indeed will work. It's not just a concept, but it's a proven concept.
Well, Jared wouldn't sign his name to the plans if he didn't think of not scared. No, I mean, I'm confident in this design. Just based on what I saw out there myself, first thing I said was, well, there's nowhere for the surface drainage to go. There's no crown in the pavement. And then when you put your tag ceiling down, and if you're a hangar owner, you build your hangar up a little bit, and you slope your apron right down to match the pavement there. I mean, it doesn't make any sense for you not to. Well, then it's going to back up, and ultimately it's nothing that the private hangar owners did that's wrong. It's just the tag ceiling was not designed to facilitate surface drainage, and you know, you get some heavy snows. I mean, even now with some of the snow probably started melting, you can notice it.
It's going to melt this weekend. It's supposed to be between 40 and 50, so.
And this is all staying the same, the current width, correct?
Yeah, 30 feet.
Okay.
Continuous, which is nice.
Yeah.
You don't have the old and the new that crumbles off.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
More sense?
No, thanks for the time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If you want to.
If you want to keep them, you sure can.
No, now you can fly back.
Mark them up and send me comments.
Now you can fly back in that nice airplane. Hey?
Thanks, Pat.
I said, now you can fly back in that nice airplane.
Oh, time to leave.
You can
you
stay.
Oh, sure. Well, I don't want to stick around. I thought maybe it was a closed door.
No, not at all. I just said you can fly back in that nice, whenever.
Sure. Well, I'm here to leave.
Okay.
We skipped the minutes, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, I was going to make a motion to accept the minutes.
Okay.
I'm sorry about that.
That's okay.
Minutes, okay. We have a motion to accept it. Second?
Second.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Okay, well, we got the best part of it over with anyway.
Thank you.
And standards, without Eric here, can you go through that?
Yeah, it's the document we've been working on for some time. I took out the penalties section that we talked about last time, that it would really be handled as all our lease agreements talk about the minimum standards, and if it came down to a police action, we certainly have that right as the airport owners. If there was something really illegal going on, the city attorney didn't feel it had to have a penalty section that spells out misdemeanor and that sort of thing. So we removed that. All the insurance information is on there. The one question that we had last time was about, there's a line about all operators at the airport have like $1 million vehicle insurance. Bill had asked about that.
Yeah.
And by operator, we mean the definition of operator, which means basically the FBO folks that already have that type of coverage. We're not talking about anybody that's at the airport driving a car. That's the differentiation. So I think everything's on there. David sent me some typo stuff, so I got that all fixed. He did some proofreading for me. So I think it has everything. It has the portable fuel stuff that we had talked about in there. So I just need your blessing in forwarding it on to the council. It'll be adopted by a resolution, and then it'll be our newly amended minimum standards.
So you would like to have a motion on that for us to do that?
If you all are in agreeance.
Do I have a motion? Second?
Second.
Any discussion? All
those. That goes to FAA then, or where is that going then?
City council next.
It goes to the city council.
And that's all.
Yeah, so it's basically our airport ordinance.
Yeah.
It's our rules and regulations out here.
Yeah.
A lot of rules.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Okay.
And I can let you know when that'll go to council if anybody wants to come and speak as a commission member. You certainly can do that too.
Okay. We have a new fuel carrier here, is that right?
Yeah, I was going to talk about that in airport updates.
Okay.
If I can.
I'm ahead of you, that one.
Sorry.
I wanted to ask one question here.
Sure.
Is there anything, Mr. Running, but is there anything in the Mooney service that you want to talk about? That they were granted?
I can talk about that now if you'd like. They are branded Phillips 66 now.
Yeah.
They have hired a full-time employee. They are a Mooney service center. Eric was unable to stay for the meeting today, so he probably would have talked about all that in the update.
Sure.
So he just asked me to pass that along. So that's big. That leads to more advertising and getting this airport out in different publications, being a Phillips provider.
Mm-hmm.
So.
So, anything else in the airport projects that you want to talk about?
Can we talk about the needs meeting we had?
Sure.
Some of you were able to attend. I also have the handouts that MnDOT had if anybody wants one that was unable to attend. It was very informative. I think the people that were able to go enjoyed it. It's the first time we've had a needs meeting with them. In the past, it was a completely different process where it was just the airport manager and the federal people and the MnDOT people. So I do have their handouts if anybody wants a copy. There's a lot of good information in there. Kind of went through everything about how this airport operates and the processes that we go through with the federal and state governments. They gave us a couple of things for us to work on, updating our based aircraft publication. One of them that we really didn't have was an emergency management plan. So if something were to happen here, it would spell out that process. And they actually gave me a little hand-guided booklet. I've talked to our emergency operations director, which is our fire marshal, Frank Hansen. There's actually a template in here, and he's created, you know, the one for City Hall and other places. So he said if there's a template and, you know, to follow the aviation regulations, he will certainly probably have a copy for our next meeting to review as the commission.
Okay. And if you want, that's actually something I was going to bring up, this because sure. I talked to a lot of those guys too at the fire department.
Sure.
and just to do some training and that kind of stuff. And I've got some RFIs into like LifeLink and that kind of stuff too. So mm-hmm. if you want me to run with that, I can.
Okay.
If you want me to follow up with any of that. So we talked about basically getting some firefighters out here because they do training on Thursday nights.
Yep.
And, you know, bring them through the aircraft and that kind of stuff and just see how small they are. You know, I mean,
yep.
you're not going to climb through those things with a scuba tank or a
thing
on your back. And,
yep.
Just even doing, you know, what we've done on the Army side is showing them the emergency shutoffs and that kind of stuff, you know, so everybody had a crash that they know how to shut the engines down and
right
know,
yeah life. They've had trainings out here but not that kind of training.
Yeah, so that's yeah. the kind of stuff that we've been looking at, you know, mm-hmm. once the weather warms up and stuff,
right.
So it's probably, you know, May we'd be looking at doing
yep.
it. But I'd sure be willing
yeah if you want to talk to meeting. Frank about it.
Sure.
Okay. Because he was more talking just the document itself, but
okay,
you know.
Well, I'd give you the afterwards. And
yeah, this is available online too. Okay. So it's a good document. So I just wanted to update you on those that weren't able to attend. I thought it was a good meeting. And then if you just want to go over the project updates.
Sure.
I know we've talked about some of these things, but I hope to have these completed in 2017. As far as painting the F-14, I do have confirmation from Public Works that they will spearhead that. So if we have volunteers that want to assist, I think they'll certainly accept that, but I think they'll have the manpower and the equipment and whatnot to get that accomplished.
Yeah, you talked about what kind of paint, what kind of color are we going to...
They should be able to figure
yeah,
it out.
Yeah, there's guidelines from Pensacola that yeah. we have to follow.
Okay.
I don't think we're going to go off of what is. So, and same with the airport. With that as well. So the airport. We'll spear. Great to have free labor. Two things that are maintenance items that just need to be done. I've also got a quote from the fence company that installed our gates to fix both of them. And we're talking about $19,000 total for both. So I kind of want to run that by you guys before we actually proceed with that. I mean, that would have to go before council too because of the cost. Mm-hmm. It's not, it's over the $5,000 range. So.
It was not in the capital improvement.
It was not. It was not.
May I ask what's the deal with the gates?
This one got hit by a snowplow one winter, so that it's not just the gate itself, but it's the posts and everything. Yeah. This one, they weren't sure what's wrong with it, but they put that amount in depending on what it is.
So it's gate repair?
Yeah.
Because the state has other federal grants. So this is state fiscal year 17. Federal fiscal year 16 has other projects within the state. Airport projects have been closing out their grants. The state has been getting a couple thousand in other projects that have been underrun. And their goal is to exhaust their funds. So not saying it's a firm possibility, but it's worth asking.
Okay.
Saying, hey, we need two gates that need repair. You already have quotes. Mm-hmm. And just send an email over to MnDOT and say, will this be something that could be funded and their rates are going to be more advantageous than paying 100% local.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying.
That'd be great.
That'd be a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
I can talk to you tomorrow.
Sure, because I've got past and we're not going to pursue that at this time. I mean, it's a lot of money for you.
Security thing.
Yeah, it isn't required though by MnDOT or FAA at this time for our type of airport.
It isn't.
It is not. And you already talked about the box hangar program. I was going to kind of just update about that. It's something we can look into in the future if we continue to have a waiting list for T-hanger users. And then one final item that is kind of coming from, we have a holding tank out here instead of a sewer system. It's not connected to the city sewer. We get it pumped monthly. There are several private hangar owners that have tapped into it, sometimes with our knowledge, I think some without our knowledge over the years. We're just wondering if we should have some kind of user fee or utility fee or something of that kind to help pay for that continual cost.
There should be. Anybody that's tapped into it should have to pay a user fee.
Pardon?
If you do this monthly?
Yeah, sometime, well, in the spring and summer, it's more than that.
So what is the cost?
It's about $350.
A time?
A time. And that's sometimes four loads he's taken out of there. And he only has to go to the wastewater treatment plant. If he had to go further, it would probably cost more.
Is the sewer plant running in there? Is the sewer water running, or the storm sewer running in there as well?
No.
I.
Right.
Sorry about that.
Infiltration, it's water, groundwater, whatever, when it rains, goes in, comes in your pipes in various places. I. I mean, there's a lot of I that comes into the sewer systems throughout the city, I would imagine.
Does every hangar tap into that?
No, not all of them. Some, not all.
But there should be a sewer, there should be a user fee if that isn't part of their.
Yeah, it's not in the land lease.
Or land lease, there should be a user fee.
Was there ever any possibility of tying into city sewer with that?
There is.
I know that's a touchy area sometimes.
You can't get federal funding once it leaves airport property. Right now, the holding tank is basically just north of the highway at the end of the road here. So it's basically at the end of the airport property already, meaning we couldn't get any airport funding to make that extension all the way to the treatment plant.
Correct.
Not to mention, we'd have to possibly cross some land that would be difficult because of landowners. And it's just very costly to run a sewer line like that. The other thought the city staff is having is, what if we just put in a septic, you know, a drain tile type situation instead of a holding tank? Yeah. That's something I just wanted to talk to you all about. It's, you know, we've been paying it now for 10 years.
Yep. Well, either way, whether you put in a mound system or not, if some people tie into our sewer system, they ought to be paying for, or paying some type of fee for it.
So how many are involved already in this?
There's probably five or six. We have a map of the ones that we know of who have tied into it. And I'm not saying, you know, it'd be a nominal fee. It's not like, we have no idea how much water people are using either. I mean, there could be months that there's absolutely nobody.
The water's all brought in, so it's probably minimal.
Yeah, and that's what my question would be, is how would you figure it, you know, I mean, obviously LifeLink is a big, heavy consumer, and so how do you separate those guys from?
Right, we would almost have to have a water meter, but then you're talking about well water, and it's not our water either. In some cases, there's a private well.
Yeah.
You just have a nominal fee for everybody that's connected, and it'd all be the same, I would think. I don't know how, because I don't know how else you measure it.
So LifeLink would pay the same as the guy that uses his restroom twice a month?
I guess. I mean, how would you measure it?
I don't know. We have to come up with something. I mean,
you can put a counter on their toilet.
The building officials' idea. The building officials' idea was to have a water meter. I mean, just like you would if it was a city line, except it would be their private line.
Yeah, you could do that. That'd be fine.
Pardon?
Are the hangers all a different size?
Yeah, they're not all the same size.
Well, you do by square foot then.
Good. They pay their land lease by the size of their hangar.
So your monthly cost is.
But then here's another example. LifeLink's smaller than the mall, but probably has more usage.
Yeah.
I mean, you could require everybody to buy a water meter, and then do it by that.
Yeah, we're just looking for any guidance.
Why not just have a nominal fee?
I mean, that's what I would do. But
I mean, yeah. Making people spend money on it, I think we're going to have some pushback on that.
Yeah.
But I mean, maybe it should be part of their lease fee, like some small percentage or something.
Yeah.
So what would you suggest?
People. Well, I don't know. You'd have to calculate what it costs per year and what real amount guesstimate of how much these private owners are putting into the system.
Could that come out of just their land lease fees that they're paying already, in addition to property taxes?
We could add it to that, yeah. Or, I mean...
Well, I guess without raising them, I mean, where's that money going to now?
You gotta add it. I mean, because we already, I mean, if you're, it's not a, yeah, I mean, it's, but it's, it would, I agree, I think a nominal fee and everybody pays the same, but...
That would be the easiest.
But you gotta add it.
I think it's the easiest, but it's not the right answer.
Well, may not be.
You know, you got LifeLink and you've got this building compared to, I mean, I know where there's a hangar over there, they probably flush the toilet twice a month, maybe if that.
Yeah. Either that or you've...
Work on Severnsdale with LifeLink.
Yep.
Because they are, they do have, what, three people there at all times, so they're probably using more of that system than even inside this building.
Either that or require water meter, you could do that. Make everybody install one if you're gonna be connected.
I think the city would install them, I mean...
Is there a capability? Departures from the airport of the different hangars?
What do you mean departures?
Does somebody keep a record of the number of departures that, out of the hangars?
Yeah, you do.
You're talking takeoffs now, or what are you saying?
No, there's no record.
There's no record of that, okay.
Oh, it's like somebody with one hangar being used.
But there ought to be something.
So if we come back with a proposal next time?
Yeah.
Of how we think it could work? Or give you options, here are the possibilities? Here it could work as a land lease, here how it could work as a user fee?
Let's just don't go overboard and make these guys that own their own, they're gonna get ticked off at us. We don't want that to happen either.
Yeah.
The two biggest users are LifeLink here, really.
Oh, by a long shot, I would imagine.
They should be really the majority. I don't really believe there are people who use them that much.
No, and I agree with that. I mean, the folks that you see out here, I'm out here almost, I'd say, 3 or 4 days a week. And even in the summertime, you're lucky to see three or four other people around, or, you know, I mean, I think the water usage would be very minimal.
Yep.
Okay.
Anything else on updates?
I think that was everything. Oh, I do have Eric's monthly report, which he would have shared with you all, but just kind of his monthly info.
Anything you'd like to discuss on this after looking at it? Or?
I don't think so. It's just for information. And that's everything I had.
February is short and so is this report. And we did secure a fellow fuel provider today, so that's good.
Mm-hmm. I know we ordered a new sign, you know, the sign that was hit in August when someone kind of went off the runway. We have ordered the new one to replace it. The new windsock is up.
Okay.
So those repairs have been made. I know Eric said because of the snow, he's got to adjust the pappies again because it snowed again.
Sorry, is it a guidance sign that I got? Distance remaining sign, I want to say?
Distance to, yeah.
Do you have a quote on that as well?
I already placed the order. We're actually submitting that bill to the person that hit it.
Oh, okay.
So, because it wasn't covered by our insurance.
So don't hit signs.
Oh, the big sign, so yeah.
So how many operations did you say were out there a year?
This next year you're forecast to have
20
24,000?
I'm just looking at what Eric reported here, 70, 80 for a week rate, so the math in my head, you're probably off by 80%, 90%. Admittedly, there would be less operations in February, but it was a shorter month, too. That's a big leap.
Full forecast is in chapter three, I can, or do you have?
Are you part of the MPAG thing?
Yeah, I haven't been able to make the meetings, because I'm always on call.
Okay, you got the draft, the first three chapters should be in your email. I haven't had a chance to look at them, we just got them yesterday, I think, or maybe it was this morning even. She sent it out, so.
Yeah, if you look through that.
It'll have all that data on forecasting.
Kind of see how that number was.
Does everybody get?
Okay.
I could forward it to you all if you would like. I think only the people that are part of the master plan advisory group get the emails, but I could, if you wanna, I mean, it's just informational, so. I certainly could, okay, I can email that out. Yeah.
And Eric did talk to Silas and I today, this afternoon, about getting another mechanic in here soon.
Okay, I know they hired one, so.
He's working on quite well, I understand, but.
Business has been good for.
Sounds like, I mean, for winter.
Yeah.
Anything else, anybody?
Okay.
Hearing none, I'll call this meeting closed, I don't think.